Look to the book of John, chapter 10. I want to read a couple of verses there. Gospel of John, chapter 10. And verses 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life. When we talk about salvation, we talk about being saved, we talk about being saved from hell. There are only two places out there to go. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And many religions teach a bunch of different things, but in the Bible, there are only two places. There is no purgatory. There is no nirvana. There is no place of earthly pleasures that's out there somewhere. There is a heaven out beyond the North Star, and there's a hell that I think is in the heart of this earth. That's the two places that the Bible talks about. Now, if you're a Bible believer, I happen to be a Bible believer. If you're a Bible believer, that's only two places. And every single one of us is going to go to one or the other. That's one of the reasons why the preaching of the gospel, the teaching of the gospel, the reading of your Bible, the understanding of what the consequences are in life and what the opportunities are in life is so very important. Sometimes we forget it. We forget how important it is. I want you to understand that salvation is not a reward for good behavior.
That's right.
Many, many religions teach it that way. Good people go to heaven, bad people go to hell. Seems logical, seems reasonable, seems just, seems right. You know the problem with that? It's a very simple problem. We don't have any good people.
That's right.
Oh, did I bust your bubble? Do you think you're one of the good ones? No, you see, every single one of us is classed as a sinner. The sweetest little old girl, right up here, sweetest little old girl get just as stubborn and stupid, ornery, hard-headed, selfish. She's just so in her sin. And she's just a little angel to you, and she is. Bless your heart, you love them. I had five of them. I know what I'm talking about. And I know these parents back here just beaming. We should have had a camera like this. It would have been fun. No kidding. Every once in a while, just turn around and look when we got these kids up here. Just turn around and look. Salvation is a gift. Did you notice that word there? I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a tremendous statement. Salvation is a gift. It is not a reward. It is a gift. There's another verse, Romans 6:23, that many of us quote over and over again. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift. Now, you know what you do with a gift. Somebody comes along Father's Day. Maybe you got your shirt. It was a gift. Maybe somebody wrapped it up. Maybe just threw it in your face. Fathers don't get the same respect that mothers get. I mean, you understand. But what you have is you got a gift. And what it was, somebody paid for that. Might even been the daddy. In a lot of cases, it is. See, I've been a father a long time. I understand these things. But do you know what happens? Somebody paid for your gift. Every gift out here, every gift you've ever received, somebody paid for it. It might not have been you. It might not have been the person that gave it to you. But somebody paid for your gift. Every gift has a foundation. You can't get a gift without a foundation for the gift. There's a foundation for the gift of eternal life. Look, if you will, in the book of Hebrews and go to chapter 7. I want to show you the foundation of the gift of eternal life. God has promised to give it. His invitation is for you to receive it. God paid for it, and here is where He paid for it. There is a foundation for it. How in the world can God give eternal life to a bunch of sinners? And that's what all of us are. Every single one of us, the best of us to the worst of us, we may look down on some people, we may look up at some other people, but every single one of us fall into the same category, sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How in the world can God then turn around, be a just God, a loving God, and give us eternal life? Any of us, eternal life. Notice what it says. Talking verse 24, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. But this man, talking of Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I want you to notice the first foundation for the gift of God, which is eternal life, is the priesthood of Jesus Christ. You need a priest. You need a priest that can get in contact with God. You need a priest that can be a go-between. You need a priest that has entrance into the courts of heaven. And that's who we have right here. You know, there have been many priests. There were high priests in the Old Testament, but you know, after a few years they died. Now, we just had a Catholic priest, a high priest for the Catholic Church, John Paul II. He just passed away after being a priest for a number of years, 26 years or something like that. I don't care how valuable he may have been to his people. I don't care how much they may have loved him. They couldn't keep him. Maybe they make him a saint. Maybe to them he is a saint. They couldn't keep him. The very best priest, the very best preacher, the very best parent, the very best person passes away. It's a problem all of us have. It's called death. You know what? This one doesn't pass away. I traded off all my human priests one day, 47 years ago. I traded off all my human priests and I took one priest. Amen. Jesus Christ. You know why? Because he has an unchangeable priesthood. I never have to change my priest again. Jesus Christ became my priest and forever he will intercede for me before the throne of heaven. Now then, that's one foundation for this gift of God, which is eternal life. We need a priest that can go to the Father God, intercede for us, pay for our sins, and make us acceptable in the presence of God. Now look at just a chapter or two over, chapter 10. Now look at verse 10. There is another foundation for the gift of God, which is eternal life. And that is the sacrifice. Many, many religions believe you need to do sacrifice in order to please God. We believe that there are many sacrifices that people ought to do. But the one sacrifice that can save you from your sins can only be paid by one person. And that was Jesus Christ. And here it is. Look what it says. By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. Not many times. He didn't have to do it a second time. You know why you got so many prescription drugs around there? Because none of them really work very well.
That's right.
If you ever got one that could cure the common cold, all the rest of them go out of business. But you need to try one time and try another and some other time and you try some more another time, try another time. And none of them really work too well, do they? They don't have one. But I tell you what, for the gift of God, eternal life, there was a sacrifice. It said right here, and every priest, talking about all human priests, all other priests besides Jesus Christ, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over and over and over again. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sit down on the right hand of God. let me tell you what Jesus did, paid for sin. When they took him to the cross and nailed him to the cross there, God laid my sin, all of it, before I was ever born. He laid every sin I ever would commit on Jesus Christ. He laid your sins. He let him die as the substitute for all mankind. He didn't die for angels. Did you know for the fallen angels there is no salvation?
Right.
Read your Bible. There is no salvation for a fallen angel. Those angels that are fallen, they're just fallen and they're doomed and damned forever. God in His mercy, God in His love, reached out to human beings like you. You in your fall, there is a salvation. Because Christ, as a man, the substitute man, came and died in our place. And so the foundation of any salvation that God offers in His Word is the priesthood of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And you know how you know the sacrifice was accepted? He rose from the grave. If He'd have died and not come out of that grave, then my friend, your sacrifice wouldn't be any good. It wasn't worth it. But what He did finished the work. What He did completed what was needed. What He did pleased God in heaven, and that sacrifice, one sacrifice, is still sufficient today to pay for all man's sins. Therefore, God has a foundation. The foundation of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ and the foundation of the sacrifice that pays for sins of Him giving His life once for all upon the cross of Calvary. Salvation is a gift. It's a gift because God paid the gift. Now, why in the world would God do that? I look around all the time at people, and one of the questions I ask in my mind is, why? You ever ask that? Why would you do that? I look at people that spend their lives studying ants. And I think, why in the world would you spend 25 years studying a colony of ants? I guess it's a nice job. I don't know. I'm thinking of all the different things that people collect. You go in some people's houses and everything's Coca-Cola. You go in other people's houses and everything's watermelon. Somebody else has got nothing but frogs. Someone else has all sorts of salt and pepper shakers. They're not worth anything. Why in the world you'd go to the far ends of the earth to collect them, I really don't know. But people do it. And I look around and I see a lot of things and I wonder, why? What are you doing this for? Christus, Daddy, raises little horses. Now, they're little horses. You can't ride one, or I couldn't ride one. I'd break its back. They weren't made to pull me, or I probably wouldn't want to pull me in a cart. Why in the world did He spend all that money feeding them and going out there and petting them and training them and cleaning up after them and shoveling and doing all sorts of things? People have funny ideas, don't they? They really do. I love to raise tomatoes. But let me tell you, they're a lot cheaper at HEB. You work on a garden, not only the money you spend on the garden, the work you put in the garden, and all the stuff, you go out there and half the time the birds eat more than you get. The birds and the bugs. The most famous verse in the New Testament is John 3:16. Turn to it. John 3:16. This is the most famous verse. Verse probably memorized by more people than any other verse in the Bible. Listen to it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that beautiful? Why? Why would God do what He's done? Why would God make a payment for sin? Why would God send us a priest that could intercede forever? Why in the world would He reach out to us? Love. I don't understand love. You understand love? I don't understand love. I've looked at it from a lot of angles in my life. But I tell you what, I still don't understand it. But I know it's there. And I know we love certain things and we love certain people. God Almighty, because of love for you, God so loved the world. He's not talking about this ball we got floating out in the universe. He's talking about people. The world of human beings. And you look around you, most of them aren't very lovely. We look around and we see, oh, I love a few. You know, I love especially a whole lot, a real few. And then I love a little bit, a lot of people. And then there's a lot of people I don't care anything about. Isn't that you? I read in the paper or I see on the television and there's a tragedy in Illinois and I don't know any of these people. I don't lay down and cry. Do you? I don't walk around lonely. Do you? No, but when it hits my family, hits somebody I love, oh my, I'll take off from my job. I'll go to the hospital. I'll pray. I'll seek them. Why? Because I love them. Well, that's what the Bible says God did for you. Now, some of you received that love. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. I did. I wouldn't go back before the first day of September 1957 for anything. That's the day I got saved. God so loved the world. Let me tell you something, friend. You may not have received that love yet, but it's yours. Amen. Today. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved you. You see, He knew you. He knew you way back there. Before you were ever the gleam in your grandfather's eye, He knew you. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The reason for this gift of eternal life is the love of God. And we're not very lovely. I sat back and said, why in the world did God save me? I'm not that much better than anybody down the road. In fact, I'm worse than a whole bunch of them. Out of my friends and others that I was running with, how many of them are saved? How many of them are already dead? But God so loved the world. That's an amazing thing. I'm still astonished at the love of God. Amen. I still thank God I've got the love of God to preach. God so loved you that He gave Jesus Christ to die in your place. Save your soul for all eternity. He's going to take you to heaven with Him, make you a part of His family, and you're going to live with Him forever. What a wonderful, 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 wonderful thing.
Yes.
For God so loved the world. Now, how is it received? By simple faith. You know what faith is? Faith is taking God at His word.
Right.
Now, there are a lot of people that want us to believe an awful lot of things. And I don't believe most of them. I'm very much of a skeptic. There's somebody who's got sitting on the side of the road and they say, reader, advisor. And they show a bunch of cards out there or they show a palm of a hand. Well, I'm just not much of a believer. I'm sorry, but I'm so old, I don't even believe my government. I'm so old, I don't believe it even is written. I've had so many articles written about me in the newspaper that you put it in the newspaper, I doubt it. Because I never saw one of them that got everything right. Not a single one. Even when they come and sat in my house and talked to me and took down notes, they couldn't get it right. Or they wouldn't write it right. But I believe in God.
Amen.
I believe in the Bible.
Amen.
I believe it is God's Word.
Amen.
And that's where faith comes in. I'm not just believing something that somebody told me. I'm believing what I've read in a book that's been tested over a period of time. I'm reading a message about God in His great love coming down and giving us an opportunity to be saved from ourselves, saved from our sin, saved from this old earth, and saved for all eternity. That's a good word, saved.
Amen.
That's a good word. It's by faith. Look at verse 36 of John 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth on the Son of God hath, that is present possession right now. You trust Christ, you believe on the Son of God, and you receive eternal life right now. Does that mean you're going to be better than everybody on your block? No. It means you received a gift. It means you received a gift. You got a gift of forgiveness. God decided to forgive your sins the minute you believe. You know what he said about Abraham? He said he believed God and God counted to him for righteousness. Read it in Genesis. He believed God and God counted that for righteousness. There was a day when I believed God and God put the righteousness of Jesus Christ on my account. Boom. And that day he saved me. Now you can doubt it if you want to. You can ignore it if you want to. And today it might not hurt you. And if you live another 60 years, it might not hurt you for 60 years. But one day, every single one of us will give an account to God. You can either account for your own sins yourself, and some of you are so proud you think you can do that. Or you can trust Christ for Him to pay for your sins. Personally, I would advise you to take Christ.
Amen.
How do you do that? Real simple. I was told when I was young that God was a merciful God. And that if a sinner would repent of their sins and trust Christ, God would have mercy upon him. That's about the little bit I knew about this Bible. Just about. But it was enough.
Amen.
It was enough. I asked Christ to forgive me. I realized I was a sinner. I realized I needed a Savior. I realized I didn't stand a chance standing before God in my own sins or in my own righteousness. And I trusted Him, and you know, He changed my life. Guarantee you, He changed my life. I don't know what He's going to do for you, but He changed my life. And by the grace of God, He forgave my sin and saved my soul. And let me tell you something, friend. He can do that for you today. I've seen Him do it in life after life after life over all these years. I've seen it done in a living room. I've seen it done in a car. I've seen it done in a revival meeting. I've seen it done on a Sunday morning. I've seen it done in a Sunday school class. Where somebody says, I do believe. I believe I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe Jesus Christ died in my place. And oh Lord, have mercy upon me. And God had mercy. And you'll know it. You'll know it. You can have eternal life today, right now, this moment, if you repent of your sins and believe that Christ died in your place, that He is the Savior, the Son of God, and that He will have mercy upon you and hear your prayer.
Thank you.
I hope you do. Let's stand and sing number 249.